محمد الهادي البشير قد جاءنا حق النذير.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Hope and pray all of you are well. Inshallah, I'll start off today's session by describing the beauty of tawakkul and what it means and its presence in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we'll hear from Sidi Abu Munir some wisdoms that he's gained from his life through the company of the righteous people that he's kept. And then we'll open up for questions, inshallah. So the slightly different format is on his request. So he asked me to begin the session. So even though I am highly unqualified, I will do so. Alhamdulillah, he's here. So if anybody notices anything, any mistake, have any questions, then please do ask. And I look forward to learning from all of you and from Sidi Abu Munir as well. So tawakkul is a trait of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it means, the scholars, they say that it means that one does not rely on the asbab, one does not rely on the means. What's a means? What's a sabab? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created everything. He created the universe. And He creates everything directly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the sun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the wind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us breathe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us death. So for example, when we get sick, we take the medicine. But when we take a medicine, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the medicine, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who creates the cure. So tawakkul is relying on Allah, trusting in Allah, is that when you take the means, when you take the medicine, then at that point, you aren't relying on the medicine, but you're relying on the one who created the medicine and the one who created the cure. So tawakkul, the scholars explain, doesn't negate the fact that one takes the means. One takes the means, but how one takes the means, that's where tawakkul is. One relies entirely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If when one takes a medicine, one relies on the medicine, then one is, you're taking the medicine and you feel as though it's the medicine that's going to cure you. When you do that, then there's a hidden shirk. There's a hidden associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we believe that there is something apart from Allah that can benefit or can cause harm. So when we move in this world, when we do everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it obligatory for us to do, we negate from the means that we take, we negate any kind of effect in our minds, we negate from our minds any kind of effect that they might bring about. And we rely completely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a famous story that illustrates his reliance on Allah is the Hijrah. When he made Hijrah, when he emigrated from Mecca to Medina, he took the means. Before he left, he placed Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he placed him in his bed, so that when people, when the disbelievers, when the mushrikun were looking in from the window, waiting in ambush for him as he came out in the morning, they would think he's still there, and they would think, and they would keep waiting, only to discover in the morning that he'd already escaped from under their noses. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went and he didn't go directly in the direction of Medina. He went in the opposite direction initially, because he wanted to confound the polytheists who were chasing him. He's taking the means. When every day the family of Sayyidina Abu Bakr would bring him food and tell him what was going on in Medina, the shepherd of Sayyidina Abu Bakr would bring his animals and would cover their tracks. And they hid in a cave from the Mushrikun for a number of days, the cave of Thawl, the Ghar of Thawl. And they hid from the Mushrikun. Again, they were taking the means. They were doing the things that normally result in protection. They were doing the things that normally result in being safe from danger. But as they're doing these things, as the Prophet ﷺ is doing these things, he is relying completely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they were in the cave of Thawl, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he relates that the trackers were there, they were tracking the footprints of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and they stood over them in the cave, and they're right in the cave there. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr said that had they looked just below them, had they looked down at their feet, they would have spotted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were in an extremely vulnerable situation, but despite the vulnerability, they still took the means. And when they were in the vulnerable situation, Sayyidina Abu Bakr is getting worried, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said his famous words. He said, "What do you think of two people when Allah is their third?" So there's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and Allah is with them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is controlling everything. He's the one who has created the mushrikun. He is the one who created the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Sayyid Abu Bakr. He created Ghar Thawl, and he's running everything, and only he can benefit, and only he can cause harm. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in all aspects of his life, he was characterized by this trait of tawakkul, of trust in God, of taking the means but relying entirely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'll pass it over to Sidi Abu Munir, and he'll inshallah continue from here. تفضل سيدي.
لخص لنا ما تفضلت به. هو يعني أتيتم بالسيرة والهجرة.
نعم ذكرت أولا أن التوكل الاعتماد على الأسباب، ثم ذكرت معنى السبب وأن الله سبحانه وتعالى هو خالق السبب وخالق الأسباب وخالق المسبب، وأنه لا نافع ولا ضار إلا هو، وأن التوكل ليس هو عدم الأخذ بالأسباب، بل هو حالة في القلب عند الأخذ بالأسباب. وهذا كان خلق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، كان يأخذ بالأسباب، وأخذنا كمثال قصة الهجرة، حيث وضع سيدنا علي بن أبي طالب في سريره، وعندما خرج إلى الغار يعني اختفى، وكانوا يأتونه بالطعام، يعني الأغنام يعني على آثار الأقدام حتى لا يكتشفوا. ثم لما كان المشركون فوقهم، وقال سيدنا أبو بكر لو نظروا تحت أقدامهم لرأونا، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما ظنكم باثنين الله ثالثهما.
أتيتم على الموضوع من كل جوانبه، جزاكم الله خيرا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، سيد الأولين والآخرين وسيد المتوكلين عليه الصلاة والسلام، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. معلوم أن التوكل من أعمال القلوب، ومالكه هو الله سبحانه وتعالى. نطلب من الله سبحانه وتعالى لمن أراد التوكل أن يطلبه من الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعله في قلبه: يا عبادي كلكم ضال إلا من هديته فاستهدوني أهدكم، يا عبادي يا عبادي يا عبادي يا عبادي كلكم جائع إلا من أطعمته، كلكم عار إلا من كسوته. فهذا يطلب من الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعله في قلب من أراد من عباده. من أراده عليه أن يطلبه من الله سبحانه وتعالى، وينظر في السيرة النبوية كما ذكرتم، ويرى توكل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. التوكل هو تفويض الأمر إلى الله، التوكل هو تفويض الأمر إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. أطلت عليك، أنا نسيت حالي.
Shabunyu says that the tawakkul is a state of the heart, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who possesses the hearts. He is the one who creates the state of tawakkul in our hearts. So if we want to acquire the state of tawakkul, we seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to realize us in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith Qudsi, in which he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "O my servants, all of you are astray except those who I have guided. So seek guidance from me and I will guide you. O my servants, all of you are hungry, all of you are naked, all of you are," and it continues, the hadith continues, and it says, "So seek from me and I will give to you." So tawakkul, if you're like me and not characterized by it, then we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, realize He is the one who gives it, and we seek it from Him. And we read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a living example of somebody who's characterized by tawakkul. Tawakkul, Sidi Abu Munir said, is to consign the affair to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning you do something, you take the means, and then the ends, the results of those means, you don't attach your heart to the ends, you consign them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave it to Him to do whatever He will.
قالوا العلماء رضي الله عنهم: التوكل الحقيقي يعني أن تأخذ بالأسباب كأنها كل شيء، ثم تتوكل على الله وكأنها ليست بشيء.
The scholars, they say that true tawakkul is that you take all of the means as though they were everything. As though the only thing that brings about any effect is taking the means. And at the same time, that you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way as though the means don't do anything. So it's joining between both of these things.
وقالوا رضي الله عنهم أن تكون بما عند الله أوثق مما في يديك.
And they say that it's for you to have more trust in what is in the hands of Allah than the trust that you have in your own power and ability and intelligence and wealth and everything that you have. You trust in Allah more than what you have.
الأولياء في الشام رضي الله عنهم، كان رضي الله عنه رحمه الله رحمة الله عليه، إذا جلس في مجلس يقول: أنا حججت 70 حجة أو ما يقارب، يعني المهم عدد كبير من الحجات حجة إلى بيت الله الحرام، فيقول لجلسائه، وأحيانا يكون من الجلساء سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن، فيقول أنا حجيت كذا كذا حجة، فأريد أن أبيع الحجج التي حجيتها، من يشتري مني حجة من الحجج التي حججتها؟
This is a very moving story, that very memorable. One of the things that I remember from that he mentioned, he said, there's one of the righteous people in Sham who he knew, and he used to have sessions, and people would come and listen to him. And among the people who would attend his sessions was Sheikh Abdul Rahman. He would sometimes attend his sessions and benefit from him and listen to him. So this righteous man, he did many Hajj many times, maybe 50 times, maybe 60 times, maybe 70 times, and the exact number he doesn't remember. But once he was sitting, and there were people around, and he said that I want to sell all my Hajj, all of my Hajjes. And so who's going to buy them from me?
يقول أحدهم، أحد الجلساء، قل سيدي أنا بشتري حجة منك، قال كم تدفع ثمنها؟ قل كم تريد؟ يقول مثلا 10 ليرات أو 25 ليرة حسب الزمان الذي كنا فيه في الماضي. قل طيب أعطني، فيدخل يده إلى الجيب هذا الجليس ويخرج مثلا هذا المبلغ الذي قاله الشيخ ويعطيه إياه، فيأخذه ويضعه تحت فخذه وهو جالس ويقول اشهدوا أنني بعت حجة من حججي لسيدي فلان. من يريد أن يشتري حجة من حججي؟ يقول آخر، يقول أنا أشتري. يقول هات ثمنها، فيخرج الثمن ويعطيه ثمن الحجة ويقول اشهدوا بأني أنا بعت حجتي لفلان، وهكذا حتى يعني لم يبقى مشتري.
So he would say, who's going to buy my hajjs? And somebody would say, I will buy it. I will buy a hajj from you. And he would say to him, the sheikh would say to him, how much will you pay me money for it? And the buyer would say, how much does it cost? And he would say, for example, 20 or 25 liras, Syrian liras, an amount that was appropriate to the value of the Syrian lira at that time. So the man would put his hand into his pocket, take out the money, give it to the sheikh. The sheikh would take the money. And then he would address all of the people who were in the gathering and say, everybody bear witness that I have sold this hajj of mine to so-and-so. Then he would say, who's next? Who wants to buy the next hajj from me? And somebody else would put up their hand and say, I'll buy it from you. And then he'd pay the money, and then he'd tell everybody, bear witness, testify that the hajj that I did, I sold it to this person. And this would continue, this continued until there was nobody else who left to buy.
فأحيانا يكون من جملة الجلساء يعني من أهل العلم لم يعرفوا هذا المنهج، فيستغربون أحد يبيع حجته بمبلغ زهيد جدا لا تساوي يعني سندوشة فلافل، يبيع هذه الحجة. ثم بعد أن ينهي الشيخ يعني هذا البيع والشراء، يقول اشهدوا بأني قد بعت من الحجج التي حججتها كذا وكذا من الحجج، أنا سوف ألقى الله سبحانه وتعالى وأنا لست معتمدا إلا على فضله، متوكلا على فضله ليس على حججي التي حججتها.
So sometimes his gatherings were frequented by scholars. So he, this sheikh himself, he acted like a normal person. And so he would sometimes do and say strange things like this. And so when there were people, students of knowledge or scholars who were present, they would find it strange that this man, he made a hajj and he's selling it for something that's not even worth the price of a falafel sandwich, not even worth the price of a burger. And he's selling this hajj of a lifetime to somebody for that. They would think that until when he'd sold all of his hajjas, he remarked, he said that, "I want all of you to testify that I have sold all of the good deeds that I've done. And I am going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not relying on anything that I have done, and placing my complete reliance on the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone."
فالتوكل هو تفويض الأمر إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى وعدم الاعتماد على كل ما سواه لا يعتمد على شيء يعتمد على الله سبحانه وتعالى فوض أمره إلى الله.
He said that tawakkul is to consign one's matter completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to leave the outcome to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to rely on anything that one has, what one has, and put everything in the hands of Allah.
No.
Okay. So if you guys have questions, you can ask. There is one question here from Mr. Abir. She says, "How does one practically begin their journey in deeply trusting in Allah when starting from scratch?" فسؤال تري تقول السائلة إذا لم يكن عندنا أي شيء من التوكل فما يعني عمليا ما أول خطوة نخطوها في اكتساب هذا الخلق؟
نقول لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما أرث بها توكل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
He says you can begin practically by saying لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So you're saying, and then after that you say صلاة وسلاما, a blessings and peace, أرث بها, through which I inherit the tawakkul of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's a dua that one can say to get started. If you didn't quite get it, write it down. Send me an email. I'll send you the Arabic and the English translation, inshallah.
من الذي يملك هذا؟ هل العبد يملكه بنفسه أم بربه؟ يملكه بربه. فنطلبه من المالك الحقيقي الذي هو الله سبحانه وتعالى. أنت بنفسك لا يأتي منك شيء.
Who is the one who has the power to bring about tawakkul in our hearts? It's only Allah سبحانه وتعالى. You're unable to do anything. So since that's the case, we seek it from Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
إذا كانت أعمال الجوارح علمنا الحق سبحانه وتعالى بالفاتحة إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين فكيف بأعمال القلوب التي لا يملكها إلا علام الغيوب نحن نطلبها من الله ونجتهد في الطلب عسى أن يمن الله تعالى علينا بهذا الخلق.
He said that the actions of the limbs, the actions that we do with our limbs, such as the prayer, the daily prayer, the greatest action that we do, when we're doing it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to begin the prayer by seeking His help, by saying that you only do we worship, you only, it's only your help do we seek, and show us the straight path, help us to pray. So if we do that for the actions of the limbs, then by greater right, we should do it for the actions of the heart. And there's nobody who possesses the hearts except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فَإِذَا مَنَّ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَلَى عَبْدٍ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ بِأَنْ رَأَى نَمَازِجَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ التَّوَكُّلِ رُبَّمَا يَكُونْ هَذَا يعني حَافِزًا لَهُ عَلَى أَنْ يَقْتَدِي بِهِ مع أن القدوة من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم موجودة في سيرته صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Says, and the next thing one does is that if you see somebody, if you have an exemplar who you can look at, and you see them bring to life the character trait of tawakkul in their lives, then when you see it in their lives, this motivates you and gives you a direction and helps you bring it about in your own life. He remarked, even though the true exemplar, the true person who we follow, is always the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In reality, we're never following any other human being. We're only imitating somebody who is imitating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we can always follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly by reading his seerah.
ومما يقوي التوكل عند العبد أن لا يخاف إلا الله ولا يرجو إلا الله. إن لم يخف إلا الله ولن يرجو إلا الله هذا قد وضع قدمه على طريق التوكل.
One of the things that strengthens one's tawakkul is to not fear anyone except Allah and to not place one's hope except in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if one does this repeatedly, one moves one's heart towards this as much as one can, it's an exercise that one does, then this strengthens tawakkul in one's heart and makes it a more permanent trait.
أما إذا خاف غير الله ورجا غير الله فهو بعيد عن هذا المنهج وعن هذه الوصول إلى هذه الغاية.
So if somebody fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or hopes in any kind of benefit from anyone apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person is far from the path of tawakkul.
فلينظر في قلبه هل يخاف غير الله هل يرجو سوى الله فإذا كان هذا فليجتهد في الخوف من الله وحده والرجاء من الله وحده.
So if I or you find ourselves feeling scared of anybody apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or placing our hopes in anyone apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should struggle to change this and to place our hopes solely in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a second question. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Sidi Abu Munir. Yusallimu alaikum, Sidi As-Sa'ir. Alaykum
as-salamu wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair li durusikum wa li nafa' al-ladhi nahsul yani yasilu ilayna jami'an. Jazakallah khair for your lessons, guidance, and continuing a parting of wisdom to us all. I wanted to say that in recent times, I'm starting to lose faith and trust in religious leaders and some Islamic scholars due to widespread spiritual and emotional abuse perpetrated by those so-called scholars who I feel are using their position as scholars to subjugate others and keep their lives under their control. How do I get over this feeling and start having the trust to study and learn from scholars again?
قبل أن يقول معليش أقول قبل أن يقول أول شيء أنا لست أدرس، لأنه الله أعلم بفقري، لست مدرسا، إنما هي جلسة مذاكرة يمن الله تعالى بها علينا ببركة السامعين أو السائلين. فتأتي يعني إذا كان هناك من خير فيأتي بسبب صدق السائل، وأما المسؤول فهو أفقر من ترى، وأفقر الورى وأحقر من ترى. أستغفر الله.
He said, before I asked him the question, I translated the introduction and I said that I thanked him for all the benefit that comes his way. And he said that before he heard the question, he said, I want to respond to that. And he's saying that he is not a teacher and he is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any benefit that comes, says none of it comes from him. All of it comes because of the sincerity of the people who are present and the sincerity of the one who is asking the question. As for him, he says he is the most needy of all of creation and the lowest and least deserving of anything of all people.
وهذه كلمة أحد الأولياء رضي الله عنه، أفقر من ترى، أفقر الورى، أفقر الورى وأحقر من ترى. لكن كلمة أحقر يعني أقول أنها يعني تؤول، لأنه كونك من علم الله ومن خلق الله فلا نحقر شيئا من خلق الله، بل بمعنى تؤول بمعنى يعني أضعف من ترى، أفقر الورى وأضعف بمعنى أنه لا يملك لنفسه نفعا ولا ضرا، فكيف يملك لغيره بهذا التأويل. أما هي كلمة كان يقولها رضي الله عنه رحمه الله تعالى.
And the expression that he used, which is literal translation, is that I am the most needy, the neediest person, the poorest person that you see, and the lowest and basest and most worthless of people who exist. So this is an expression that that one of the people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said. He said, but the second part of it, this is a very valuable point, important, is that second part of it, which is that I am the lowest and most worthless of all people, this needs to be interpreted. It doesn't literally mean what it is saying. Because you and I, we are creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is worthless or mean or base. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, it's a creation of Allah, it returns to Him. So what it means is, what this means is, it means it's an expression of weakness. It means that I am the weakest of all people. So now I'll translate the question. The question is, the su'al, أشعر في ال أنني في الأزمنة القريبة بدأت أفقد ثقتي وإيماني بأئمة المسلمين وبعض يعني العلماء لشيوع يعني عند كثير منهم يعني يستعملون الدين للإساءة على الغير ويعني الإساءة على الغير ويضرون بالآخرين عاطفيا ودينيا ويستغلون منصبهم ليبقى الطالب تحت سيطرتهم. فكيف أخرج من هذا الشعور وأرجع إلى أن يكون عندي ثقة للتعلم من العلماء.
طويل السؤال واسع، لكن والله تعالى أعلم. يجب علينا أن نحسن ظننا بجميع خلق الله، هذا أصل. يجب علينا أن نحسن الظن بجميع خلق الله، خصلتان ليس فوقهما في الخير خصلة، حسن الظن بالله وحسن الظن بعباد الله. هذه النقطة.
So there's many points in the question. The first thing to keep in mind is that it's obligatory on us to have a good opinion of other people. And the scholars, they say that there's two traits above which there is no other trait, which is that having a good opinion, giving a positive interpretation to the actions of other people, and having a good opinion and giving a positive interpretation to the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the events that Allah brings about in our lives.
النقطة الثانية، كل ابن آدم خطأ، فهل إذا وقع خطأ من أحد، هل هذا الذي العالم أو المسلم العادي أو أحد، هل إذا وقع منه خطأ يعني يصيبنا الإحباط ويصيبنا هذا السوء الظن؟ ما المقدمة موجودة أن كل ابن آدم خطأ، لكن خير الخطائين التوابون. فلو وقع هذا، هذا شيء يعني شيء طبيعي أن يخطئ الإنسان، شيء طبيعي. فلماذا أن أسيء الظن؟ لعلي رضيت منه، كرهت منه خلقا أو خطأ، لكن رضيت منه أمورا غيرها. فهل نترك الخير الذي مثلا كان من هذا العالم أو هذا الداعية لأجل خطأ وقع؟
No. So he said two things. The first thing, that was the first point. Then he mentioned two other points. Two other points are that first, that we have to keep in mind that every human being makes mistakes and commits sins, and they do it frequently. So if we see somebody doing something wrong, whoever that may be, whether it's a normal person or whether it is a somebody with a religious position, then seeing a wrong deed from somebody else, we should understand that it's a normal thing. This is how human beings are. So if we see a wrong at the hands of somebody else, whether that's a normal Muslim or whether it's a scholar, then that should not cause us to have a bad opinion and give a negative interpretation to everybody else. Because, as he started off by saying, that it's part of our deen to have a good opinion of people. So that doesn't mean that when you see something wrong, you don't recognize it as wrong. But what it means is when you see something wrong, you recognize it as wrong, but that doesn't then become a means to have a bad opinion of every other person that you see. So that's one thing. The other thing is that when we see something wrong coming from someone, then that wrong thing we dislike and we're not pleased with it. But at the same time, if there was something, there was a benefit, there was something good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created on the tongue of that person, from which one benefited through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not through that person, then one doesn't deny that benefit that one gained. So one, you leave the bad, and if there's anything good that one gained, you acknowledge that benefit, and it is your benefit, and you move on with that benefit.
ثم إذا كان خليفة رسول الله الثاني رضي الله عنه ومن قال فيه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لو كان نبيا بعدي لكان عمر وإذا سلك عمر فجا يسلك الشيطان فجا غيره كل هذه المواصفات في سيدنا عمر والذي وافقه القرآن في أكثر من كذا وكذا من 20 موضع كل هذه المواصفات يقول أخطأ عمر وأصابت امرأة فالخطأ وارد لكن عدم الإصرار عليه طبعا
Said that we have to keep in mind that everybody makes mistakes. Sayyidina Umar, in other words, nobody is divinely protected from error except the Prophet. Sayyidina Umar, the second Khalifa of the Prophet, someone who the Prophet said, if there were to be a Prophet after me, it would be Umar. Someone who the Prophet said that whenever Umar goes down one path, Shaytan goes down the other path. Someone who had, whose desires were in line with the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, confirmed by the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on multiple occasions. He was in the masjid and he said, he made a public statement about the, about a particular religious issue about the mahar and setting an upper limit on it. And an old woman stood up from the behind the masjid and told him that he was mistaken and that what he was saying went against a verse of the Quran. And Sayyidina Umar said to everybody, he said that this old woman is correct and Umar has made a mistake. So mistakes, when we deal with people, I'm elaborating here, this is his intent, when we deal with religious scholars, we need to keep in mind that they can make mistakes. And when they do mistake, when they do make mistakes, then our role is to be like that old woman. And so everybody makes mistakes. But the problem is when somebody makes a mistake and then persists in that mistake and is not like Sayyidina Umar, who changed and turned away when the woman, she corrected him.
فالمعصوم هو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذه من المسلمات. المعصوم رسول الله. وما عداه ليس بمعصوم. فإذا نسبت يعني إذا وجدت في نفسك عليه شيئا فكأنك يعني كأنك تحاسب أو تقدح بمعصوم وهو ليس بمعصوم فلماذا يكون هذا الأمر عندك في هذه الدرجة حتى تسيء يعني ظنك بالعلماء ثم تجمع تقول العلماء فهذا أرى أنه يعني ربما يكون هذا آفة من الآفات حتى تضعف عنك عن عندك هذه ال 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 الرتبة من العلماء ثم لا تجد احتراما لأحد منهم فما دام أنه يعني يخطئ ويصيب الأمر يعني لا يصل إلى هذه الدرجة من اليأس يعني أو الإحباط.
Said, so what the problem, what was the problem, the reason why we end up in a state where we lose trust in all religious scholars when we see a religious scholar making a mistake is because our initial relationship with that person was not a correct relationship. We had in our hearts a belief that this person, because he's a religious scholar, he is protected from error, he can't do any wrong. And because we had this belief, when that person then does something that's wrong, then it leads us to a state of depression and despair. Because we're placing our trust and reliance on this person who is divine, who we believed, either explicitly or implicitly, cannot make a mistake. But if we had a healthy relationship with a scholar, and meaning that we believe that he's a human being, he can make mistakes, and he can commit sins, then if one saw that, then it wouldn't lead to depression and despair. What's happened here, Sayyid Mubarak says, is that this is a fault in ourselves. And it's a fault in ourselves because if we don't have respect for people of religious learning and we don't have any trust in people of religious learning, then we are closing the door. We've closed the door for us to be able to benefit. So religiously benefit from another person. So it's something that we need to remedy.
ثم له واجب عليك أن تقدم له النصيحة فتكون يعني في هذه النصيحة أجرك لا يقل عن أجره كعالم وأنت قدمت له نصيحة فيما يعني وجدته مثلا منه. النصح واجب, فنصحك له واجب وأجرك لا يقل عن أجره.
Said that that when somebody makes a mistake and he's a scholar, or there's a scholar or anyone else, then you have an obligation. Your obligation is to wish the best for him and to advise him and tell him that what he's doing is wrong. And when you do that, even though you're not a scholar yourself, but you're fulfilling an obligation, and the reward that you have for doing that is not less than the reward that a scholar has when he does the same for other people.
قيل لسيدنا عمر رضي الله عنه اتق الله فمن كان في مجلسه قال للقائل كيف تقول له اتق الله وهو أمير المؤمنين قال دعه سيدنا عمر قال دعه فلا خير فيهم فيه إن لم يقلها ولا خير فينا إن لم نسمعها.
Somebody came up to Sayyidina Umar and said to him, fear Allah, have fear of Allah, and reprimanding him. It's one of the, and this is like the best person who's alive. After the Prophet and Abu Bakr, they've both passed away, the best person on the face of the earth is Sayyidina Umar. So somebody who was with Sayyidina Umar, he said, this person is being rude. How can he say to the Khalifa of the Muslimin, fear Allah? And Sayyidina Umar said, leave him. Because there's no good in him and other people if they don't say that to me. And there's no good in me if I don't hear it from other people.
فالمسلمون جسم واحد, الأصل جسم واحد, فلو يعني وقع خلل في هذا الجسم تكون باقي الأعضاء معينة على هذا الجسم في إصلاح خلله.
So Muslims are a single body. They're like a single body. It's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if part of the body, there's something that goes wrong with it, whoever that might be, whether it's somebody important, somebody not important, a religious figure, not a religious figure, then the rest of the body, it rises up to, out of concern for somebody in the Muslim Ummah, to set right the thing that's gone wrong, so that everybody can be whole and healthy again.
أنك كأنه يظهر من حال من هذا حاله أنه عنده ضعف في الرجاء من الله سبحانه وتعالى، وهذا يخالف التوكل الذي بدأتم به. يعني أن تخاف الله لا تخاف غيره، وترجو الله ولا ترجو غيره. فما عدا الحق ورسوله المعصوم كله يؤخذ منه ويرد عليه وينصح، وكل ابن آدم خطاء كما تقدم. ففي علاقة بين التوكل وبين اليأس من وسوء الظن بالعلماء وغيرهم.
And then finally, there's another way to look at it too. And this brings us back to the topic of tawakkul that we're studying here. Because when one loses hope and despair and starts having a bad opinion of everybody, then one is not hoping in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, we just learned that tawakkul is that you fear nobody except Allah, and that you don't hope for any benefit except from Allah. So here, when we lost hope, it was an indication that the benefit that we wanted to gain, we were seeking, we weren't seeking it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were seeking it from a person. And we have to keep in mind that that every person, every human being is they make mistakes. And I'll just add something, and then I'll run it by Sayyidina Munir. And so this is one of the wisdoms. It's one of the wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifesting mistakes or things in people that might let us down. And that when we see that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us to turn our attention and turn to place our trust and reliance in Him, and not rely on people. So going forward, when we have a relationship with religious scholars, we keep in mind that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's giving the benefit, not the religious scholar. أو من ممن يعني من هذا الشخص هو تنبيه من الله سبحانه وتعالى إلى أن يعني أن نرجو منه فقط ولا نرجو من خلقه، فنتعلم منه، وعندما يعني نجلس مع العلماء يعني نلاحظ هذا يعني فإذا كان يعني تصحيح أو تعديل.
ويكون لك دور، يعني فقط ليس فقط دور المتلقي، لكن دور الناصح.
He said also that moving forward, you have to, and that you need to have a role as well. So when you interact with a religious scholar, with a person of religious standing, you also have to have nasiha for that person. And if you understand that everybody can make a mistake, everybody can go wrong, and so if you see somebody doing something wrong, and that person is a religious scholar, you need to have a role too. You're like the old woman who stood up to Sayyidina Umar and told him he was wrong, and it's part of all of our responsibility to play that role.
وهذه فضيلة قد منحها الله إليك أيها العبد، أن تقدم هذه النصيحة. فأنت إذا نظرت إلى هذا الخطأ سوءا وسوء ظن، تكون لم تستفد من أن تكون استفدت منه كونك ناصح وكونك نبهت على الحق، وكونك يعني تكون قد ذهبت عنك هذه الفرصة.
So if you so when you see something wrong, if you then fall into despair and have bad opinion of everybody else, then the opportunity to have nasiha and well-wishing and advice for this other person, you've lost it. You've lost that opportunity.
يعني عندما حدد سيدنا عمر المهر وقامت هذه المرأة وقالت يعني الله لم يحدد وقال لو أتيتم يعني إحدهن قنطارا يعني بقي هذا الكلام خالد إلى يوم القيامة أن امرأة أخذت بسيدنا عمر إلى الصواب.
So he said that, just returning to the example of Sayyidina Umar, he set an upper limit on the amount of marriage payment that a man would give to his prospective wife. And this woman, she stood up and she recited the verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if you were to give them a treasure, a whole treasure of marriage payment, then don't take it back. And so he says, and this is the verse with which she corrected Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. And because of that, this verse has become associated with this exchange between an old woman and Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, the best of the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something that we think of to the Day of Judgment.
وهذه يعني سبحان الله كأنها من الحكمة يعني حكمة من الله سبحانه وتعالى قد يوجد في النهر ما لا يوجد في البحر.
He said this is one of the wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might find something in a river that you don't find in a sea.
فكن بدلا أن يعني يصل إلى قلبك هذا اليأس وهذا يعني سوء الظن بالعلماء وكذا كن مما في النهر لا يوجد منه في البحر.
So instead of having a bad opinion of all scholars, be like that river, so meaning that river that has something that the sea doesn't have.
والله دخلت مع سيدنا الشيخ شكري رحمة الله عليه إلى أحد العلماء الأجلاء الكبار يعني رتبة أولى في العالم الإسلامي. دخلت مع يعني سيدنا الشيخ شكري رحمة الله عليه وكان في معنا بعض إخواننا يعني فهذا فقام يعني هذا العالم الجليل وتكلم في بشيء بحق أحد الشيوخ الأعلام المنتقلين وقال ما وجدت لكلامه تأويلا بل هو كفر بواح. فأحد إخوان الشيخ شكري قال فذهب وأتى بالعبارة التي انتقدها هذا العالم الجليل وكان من إخوان الشيخ شكري من لم يعرف لا بطلب العلم ولا يعني من عامة الناس. فعندما قرأ العبارة هذا العالم الجليل عندما قرأ العبارة قال له هذا العامي يعني يعتبر قال له سيدي أليس مفهوم هذه العبارة هو كذا؟ والله العظيم أمام عيني رجع هذا العالم الكبير درجة أولى الرتبة الأولى في العالم الإسلامي في تخصصه رجع وقال والله صحيح وأنا مخطئ والله أمام عيني هذا.
Said Sayyid Abu Munir entered he went with Sayyidina Sheikh Shukri to visit one of the greatest scholars of our time. In his field, he's the top scholar in the entire world. And this scholar, he was reciting, he was looking at some poetry, and he was reciting poetry from one of the past scholars. And he's looking at it, and he said, how can this past scholar say something like this? This is, it's disbelief, it's open disbelief. He said, and with Sheikh Shukri was a normal person, somebody who's not known to be a student of knowledge, somebody who's not known to be a scholar. And this normal person, he stood up and he said, maybe what the scholar actually meant to say was this. And he said that this huge scholar, the top of his field in the entire Muslim world, immediately he took his statement back and he said, what you said is correct and I made a mistake. He said, Sayyidina said that he saw this with his own eyes.
فهذا العالم الجليل الكبير البحر محيط يعني من رده إلى الصواب عامي رده إلى الصواب يعني انتقل هذا الرجل هذا العالم هذا المحيط انتقل من تكفير وليا من أولياء الله تعالى من تكفير وليا من أولياء الله تعالى إلى الاعتراف بما قال وصدق ما قال. طيب هذا دور أعطاك الله إياه، لماذا تهمله وتسيء الظن؟ كان من الممكن أن هذا العامي سكت وبقي ذلك المحيط العالم الجليل على تكفيره لهذا، لكن أين هذه الفرصة التي سنحت لك أيها العبد بأن تصحح أجر الله على لسانك تصحيحا لعالم جليل.
He said that this scholar, he was just a normal person, an uneducated person who stood up and said this to this top-notch scholar of our times, one of the greatest scholars in his field in the world, the greatest scholar. And if the person who's not a scholar, if he'd said, I'm not a scholar, I'll just stay silent, I'm not going to say anything, and this scholar had persisted in doing takfir, declaring somebody to be a disbeliever, and the person he's declaring to be a disbeliever is a major figure in Islamic history, then where's the benefit? So he said that normal person, and we're all, that we should all be that normal person, that if we see something, a mistake from whoever it may be, then we should seek the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by giving sincere advice to the person who we've seen the mistake at their hand, and seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in order to put anybody else down.
وهذا الخطأ الذي وقع من هذا البحر أطال الله في عمره ونفع به يا رب، هذا الخطأ الذي وقع منه هذا والله أنا زادني في أنا لم أكن يعني لم يكن هناك يعني ود أو صلة بيني وبينه، لم يكن هناك صلة ولا ود، فعندما رأيته قد أنصف في هذه المسألة أحببته حبا شديدا، لأن الإنصاف جميل، لكن أن تنصف من نفسك أجمل، يعني أن تنصف الغير هذا شيء جميل ورائع، لكن أن تنصف من نفسك تقف على نفسك بالإنصاف هذا أجمل وأروع. فبعدها يعني حقيقة يعني أحترمه غاية الاحترام، لأنه لم يتوقف ولا لحظة واحدة، قال والله صحيح وأنا أخطأت. وهو من هو.
He said, so the scholar who is the greatest scholar of his field in the Muslim world, and people from all over the world come to benefit from him, and he has prominent students all over the world. He said that when Sayyidina Munir saw this from him, he started loving him and respecting him to a degree that he didn't used to do before. He said that before this exchange, there was no connection between them. He was just a scholar and there was no connection. But he said that since he saw him do this, he started loving him greatly. Why? Because to be fair and just is an important trait that everybody needs to have. But to be fair and just and take yourself to task and to be fair with other people because and side with somebody else against yourself out of a sense of fairness and justice, this is a huge virtue. And so ever since he saw that, he's respected him a great deal.
وقد سمعت من بعض الدعاة الذي لي بهم صلة وصلة قوية سمعت منه أدام الله نفعه سمعت منه قال لي مجلس في الأسبوع أجتمع به ب يعني المقربين من إخواني أقول لهم هذا المجلس لا أريد أن نسمع به ثناء على دعوتنا وسلوكنا بل أريد من الموجودين هذا المجلس فقط لأن تظهر سلبيات دعوتنا أن تظهر ما هي السلبيات التي تعترض دعوتنا إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى فلا قال لا أسمح أبداً بأن يكون في هذا المجلس ثناء على ما قدم بل أريد أن أسمع أنه لو فعلنا هذا لماذا فعلنا هذا لماذا لم نفعل هذا فوجدت في هذا الخير الكبير حتى أخذت هذا المنهج في حياتي العملية يعني في العمل أنا توصلت إلى أنه في أي مؤسسة من الأعمال وغيرها والمؤسسة علمية أو أعمال تجارية أن يكون هناك عين نقادة هذه العين النقادة عندما تقول لك لماذا هذا وقع لماذا هذا حقيقة أنا في حياتي العملية يعني لو وظفت من عنده هذه الميزة في مجال العمل لكان هذا ليس بقليل لأن هذا يقوي جودة المنتج ويصحح جودته وميزته لهذا المنتج فهو يحتاج إلى أن يكون هناك من يقول يعني لو كان هذا ما رأيك في هذا ويعني يكون هذا كلمة دعه لا خير فيهم إن لم يقولوها ولا خير فينا إن لم نسمعوها هذا يسري على جميع مجالات الحياة العلمية والعملية
There was once a sheikh, a spiritual, I think it's, he's referring, somebody who called people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spiritual guide. And he told Sidi Ibn Munir that he has a weekly session where he has for his special students, those who are prominent, for his prominent students. He has a weekly session where it's just for them, it's not for the general public. But what does he do in that special session? It's not a special session for the elect and special people, but it's a special session where everybody, all of them, they review the mistakes that they've made, their deficiencies, how they can correct themselves. And that's the goal of this session with those who are close to him. So that they remind themselves of, this is done in the spirit, he says at the end, of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, when somebody came to him and said, fear Allah, and he said that there's no good in that person if he doesn't say it, and there's no good in me if I don't hear it. So Sayyidina Umar says that he took this example from this scholar, as a principle with which he lives his life, not just in religious affairs, but in practical affairs. So Sayyid Muni is a manager, He's a manager in a company, in a clothing company, and he manages people. So he says that he says that there's any company, any project, it will not succeed if there's not somebody who looks from within the company or project, who looks at things with a critical eye. So there needs to be somebody who says this is not okay because of this, this is not okay because of this. And if that critical eye is not there, then there won't be any success. If the only thing that the people who are close to, what they say is, you're great, everything is good, and everything is okay, then as a whole, the company will not succeed. So he's taken this as a principle with which he lives his life. He says it should be in all of our life, in all of our affairs. We live our lives with the principle that Sayyidina Umar set for us, which is there's no benefit in other people if they don't offer advice and help and correct, and there's no benefit in us if we don't heed that advice and take it and benefit from it. I benefited from that greatly. Thank you for asking the question. There's other questions. Inshallah, don't want to make it too long for him and also for the attendees. But if there's anything urgent, feel free to send me an email, hamza@basireducation.org, and I will try my best to get you an answer. Inshallah. I'll
stop. شو تفضلتم سنة؟
قلت يعني في يعني أسئلة كثيرة. فقلت يعني إذا كان لدى أحد يعني سؤال يريد جواب عنه فليراسلني و يعني ممكن أسألكم ونعطيه الجواب فيما بعد وإن شاء الله.
نسأل الله أن يلهمنا الصواب وأن يستعملنا فيما يحب ويرضى. عندنا بدوي رحمه الله، أو هو مثل عند البدو، يقول: العبد وعاء والله سبحانه وتعالى يضع فيه. العبد وعاء يعني صحن والله سبحانه وتعالى يضع فيه. نسأل الله أن يكون يستعملنا فيما يحب مولانا ويرضى من قول وعمل وحال وعقيدة ومنهج وسلوك وحب وشوق وحمد وشكر له سبحانه وتعالى. نسأل الله أن يستعملنا في ذلك. نشهد الله على الفقر، أمر لا يحتاج إلى إشهاد. هو قال سبحانه وتعالى: يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله، هذه حقيقتنا. لكن إذا من الله سبحانه وتعالى من فضله على عبده غطى وصفه بوصفه.
We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire us to say that which is correct and to use us in that which pleases him. And one of the Bedouins, he said that the servant is a vessel. All of us, we are an empty bag or an empty vessel, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who fills it with whatever he wills. And so he said that he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bear witness that he is weak and needy. And he doesn't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to testify, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said to all of us that, O mankind, you are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah doesn't need anything. And so he said that our intrinsic state is a state of emptiness and weakness, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, He conceals our lack of knowledge, our lack of power, our imperfections with knowledge and power and perfections that He creates, that come from Him and they don't come from us.
وهذا المثل أن العبد وعاء والله يضع فيه هو تحقيق أو ترجمة لقول الله تعالى لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله فإنه لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
This proverb that the servant is a vessel and a bag and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places within it whatever He wills is an expression of, it's a way of expressing the well-known statement that there is no power, no movement, nor power, nor might, except through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وتواصوا بالحق. أليست هذه لأخينا السائل جوابا؟ أليس كذلك؟
بلى، نعم.
والله سيدي، سبحان الله، هذه السورة من أينما تناولتها منها غرفت منها، من أينما غرفت منها. شو ما معنى وتواصوا بالحق؟ إذن هناك شيء يقع فيجب أن تتواصى وتتناصح، ولا يدفعك هذا لسوء ظن أو يأس أو يعني، أليس كذلك؟
نعم.
والله العظيم.
We finished with the surah that all of the Sahaba used to recite before they parted company, Surah Al-Asr. And he says that note in the surah, it says that all of us are in loss except those who urge one another to be patient and urge one another to do what's right. Said that isn't there in this statement an answer to the questioner? And such an amazing surah that is, that whichever direction you come from, you find something in it.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Alaykum Sidi Ibn.
صلي وسلم ربي وأنعم على المعلم نور العيون.